He was told to be circumcised together with all the males in his family, including all the slaves and those who were bought by him. They must be circumcised as well. Okay, now I want you to look at chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now, when you look at what God said to him in relations, you know, to having a child, or in relation to inheriting the promised land, okay, we find that, you know, the main focus of Abraham, yeah, is to trust in God and to follow the instruction that the Lord given to him. Okay, obviously the realization of the promise of the Lord, yeah, the right to realize it is with God. Okay, actually you'll find that man, you know, cannot do anything, yeah, to cause God to, you know, to realize his promise. Right? Now, once again, God said to him, that he would make his covenant between him and Abraham and multiply him exceedingly. Right? Now, so God said his covenant is with Abraham, and, you know, and he shall be a father of many nations. Now, I want you to read verse 7, yeah? Verse 7 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 and verse 8. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. It's like God repeated himself so many times. All right? Now, I think there is a very important teaching here that is in verse 8. Also, I give to you and your descendant after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, okay? Now, in this covenant, God made it clear that he would like to be the God of Abraham and his descendant. Right? Now, God is the initiator of the covenant, and Abraham is like the beneficiary. So he received what? Blessing. As a result of God's initiative. Right? In every covenant, there are two parts, yeah, obviously. Okay, first is God, and the second in this case is Abraham and his descendant, yeah? Okay, this line, this, okay? Now, in order to ensure that this covenant can go on and on and on, you find that they are like, what do you call it? Covenantal requirements, yeah? If I can put it this way. Yeah? And you find that this one is stipulated by God. And to make sure that this covenant can go on, then Abraham and the descendant must abide by the requirements. You get what I'm saying? Hello? Do you know what I'm talking about? Right, now, when you look at our relationship with God, yeah, our covenant with God is the same. Right, God has done everything that he can to start up a covenant with us. We know that it's through his blood, okay? Now, obviously for us to remain in this covenant, then we are required to keep the truth. Right? Same principle applies. Now, if you know that God can do no wrong, okay? He is a perfect God, right? Now, so on our part, if we fail to abide by the conditions set in the covenant, yeah, then what happened? We practically break the covenant. Right? You'll find that we will not receive what? blessing as a result. Okay? Now, God has started up this covenant with Abraham because he wanted to shower his blessing to him and his descendant, and in return, they must keep the requirements. Right? Now, the blessing shall be removed when requirements are not fulfilled. That's the idea. We find that this idea is actually, passed down to the covenant that we now have with Jesus. Okay, well, we come back. And also, like what I said before in verse 8, in verse 8, God said he will be their God. God wants to be their God. Right? Now, you find that the covenant that God had with his people, he has suffered a lot of setbacks. Right? But not because God has done wrong, and not because God has ceased from being very caring towards his people. Rather, we find that time and again, the people of God sin against him. Right? Now we turn to Hosea. We look at I want to read chapter 1 first. We read verse 9 as an example. Verse 9. Okay. Verse 9. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Hosea chapter 1, verse 9. 1-9. Now, in the time of Hosea, the people of God, continually sin against God. So God was very much upset. God wanted to be their God, to guide them, to give them blessing, blah, 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 blah. But they refused to follow the requirements of God. And that's why God said, oh, I'm not going to be your God anymore. Right? Now, if you look at, where is it? Chapter... chapter 2, verse 23. Now, then I will soil her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Again, you find that, obviously this is prophetic in nature. It points to the future, but the immediate listeners, the immediate recipient of the word of God in Hosea's were the chosen people. This is what God said to them. So when they violated against the commands of the Lord, obviously God would withdraw his mercy from them. Okay? Now, so when they repented and they turned back to God, once again you find that God would shower his mercy upon them. And in that sense, God shall be their God. Alright? Now, you find that many of the Old Testament scriptures, in fact, right from the beginning, between God and Abraham, is connected in a way to the salvation that we have received in the New Testament time. Now, the idea here is mercy. If mercy is given, then what happens? Then people shall become God's people, isn't it? And then God, I don't know how to draw it, then God shall be their God. That's the idea, right? Now what happened when the requirements, remember requirements must be fulfilled, right? What happens when requirements are not fulfilled? God withdraw the mercy, no mercy, and then
not God people anymore, and God shall not be. If you look at this in the context of the New Testament,
I'm not too sure whether I should link this to
Okay, turn to 1 Peter. turn to chapter 2. We look at verse 10. Okay? Verse 10. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Right? Now, here the idea, again, is borrowed from the Old Testament scriptures. Mercy, with mercy, we are God's people, yeah? And without mercy, we are not God's people. Right? Now the question is, how can we obtain mercy? That's the point, okay? Now, I want you to turn to Titus. I think it's a bit conceptual now, okay? It doesn't matter. If you don't understand, it's okay. Chapter 3. Now we look at verse 5, yeah? This is a very commonly used verse, okay? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Basically, he's saying to obtain mercy, we need to be reborn. Right? We need to be born again. Okay? Have we all gone through the process of rebirth already? Yes. So, now we are. Now, what if we fail to fulfill the truth or the requirements? What happened? Mercy? Removed. Even we have been baptized, okay? Remember. Now, we turn to Revelation. Chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. Now, here is the writer. Okay, John is talking to those who have already been born again, okay? It's in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it say? Read verse 7. Verse 3 first, yeah? And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, this is the perfect church, because in verse 2 it talks about new heaven and new earth. So you find that when the church reaches perfection, then the fullness of God shall be with the church, and God shall be our God. Praise God. God shall be our God. God shall be our God. Okay. Right? And we shall be God's people. Now today, even though we are in the true church of God, if we are not victorious, if we fail to abide by the truth of God, then what happened? We are not his people. Because we have not overcome ourselves. Is it clear? Now, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be. Right now, we are now in the church, in Christ Jesus, okay? We cannot abuse the grace of God, remember. We cannot afford to abuse the grace of God by not keeping the truth of God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? If we do that, then what happens? Then we shall not be his people. God will not recognize us. That's how it comes from Abraham all the way to Revelation. Totally confused. Staring at me blank. Okay, never mind. It's okay. That's the concept, okay? 你们懂吗? 勉强来看你。 Now we come back. Chapter 17. So, you find that here, God actually asked Abraham what? To circumcise. Yeah, this is the first time that the Bible talks about circumcision. Do you think it's easy for Abraham to follow? Not easy, yeah? Okay, I want you to turn back to chapter 15, yeah? Chapter 15? Now, if you look at the last two verses, last three verses, here it talks about again what? Who were in the land of Canaan? The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaim, the Canaanite, the Girgashite, and the Jebusite, all the sites. Yeah? Hello? You know why? Okay, now. This is a land, okay? Actually, chapter 17 tells us about the faith of Abraham in God, okay? Obedience. Now, let's say this is the land. Different what? Locals, yeah? Stay there. Canaanite, Jebusite, Girgashite, what? Kenite, whatever. Right? They live there. Now, here, let's say Abraham is here, okay? I don't know where, okay? Yeah, somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? God says circumcise. This is not a simple task. And he is endangering himself. Why? Now, if you look at chapter 34, you know this Simeon and what, Levite? Right? Remember their sister, what is that? Dinah? Yeah? Dinah was defiled by the Shechemite. Remember that? Right? So this brothers came out with a trick. No problem. If you want to marry my sister, all the male in the city get circumcised. Is that so? The Bible says on the third day, while they were still in pain, they went in that cute. You get what I'm saying now? Alright? Now for Abraham to circumcise everyone, including all the servants, those who could fight, meaning they actually, what, in a way, paralyze them. You understand what I'm saying? But Abraham had faith in God, so he did according to what the Lord had told him to do. This faith, great faith. Show some reaction. You understand what I'm saying now? That is the faith of Abraham. Okay, we come back. Alright, now. Now look at verse 14, yeah? Verse 14.
And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. It's a requirement. Right? Now, obviously, you know, when you know, come to think about it, this kind of requirement is quite strange, isn't it? It's like putting Abraham and his family in great danger of being swallowed up by the Canaanites. But Abraham acted in faith, right? Now, what does it tell us here? You know, when in life, you know, sometimes the commandments of God may be in direct conflict, with our interest, right? Now, sometimes we do not know what to do to choose, to put the matters of life, first, or to put the will of God first. Sometimes we in constant struggle. Is it not true? Now, I think since we are already in the covenant of God, we must always put that first, the requirements of God first, the commandments of God first, believing that God will bless us. Yeah, we believe that since this is the requirements of God, then God must have a way to help us, as long as we keep the commandments of God. Okay? Now, I want to look at chapter 17. Verse 16. Now, verse 16. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nation. Kings of people shall be from her. So God actually told Abraham that he would give a child to Abraham by what? By Sarah, not by any other woman. Right? This is very clear. Right? Now, so look at verse 19. And then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name what? His name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendant after him. Right? Now, so, also in this chapter, we see that God changed the name of Abram to Abraham. Now, I want you to look at chapter 17, verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Now, what is the meaning of Abraham? Exalted father, father of a multitude, when he did not even have a child yet, at the age of 99. He called himself an exalted father. If you were Abraham, you were Abraham. All right, now God said to you, 99 years old, you haven't got a child. Change your name. Call yourself the exalted father, father of multitude. When you walk about in your neighborhood, you tell your friend, hey, excuse me, I've changed my name, and now I'm called exalted father, exalted father. People might say, this guy's gone mad. What is he doing? You don't understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is this, God actually put Abraham to test, on many occasions in his life, so many times. You find that Abraham just followed what the Lord said. That is faith. That's why he was called the father of faith. Circumcision is one example. Changing names is one example. And the wife is called what? From Sarai to Sarah. What does it mean? What is the meaning of Sarah? Yeah? A mother of nations. You know how does the Bible describe introduce Sarah? Remember I told you that? She was a barren woman. Yeah? And now God said to her, after so many years, now you are called what, the mothers of nations. And when people, their relative, if they came to know about it, they said, what happened to this old couple? Yeah, they might have been thinking too hard about having children. Yeah, so now they have gone crazy. They have gone mad. And one call himself what exalted father, and the other one call herself what mother of nation. What people said, these people, they are mad out of their mind. Yeah. And you know what? They follow. They follow exactly what the Lord said. This is what? This is faith. This is faith. Okay? Any questions so far? Chapter 17. Any questions? You know, the lesson is faith is beyond what you can see. That is faith. You trust in God, whatever God said, you do. That is faith. But you find that in chapter 17 alone, Abraham had done, you know, two impossible tasks. That's why he's called the father of faith. Okay, now, when you come to chapter 17, they were 99 years old, okay? Now, what did Abraham said to God? And the Bible says she has passed the age of what? Childbearing, yeah? Okay. Now, I don't know how to describe it, yeah? But just think about this. 99 years old, God said, no, look, I'm going to give you a child. 99. How old is the wife? How old was the wife then? 90, yeah. Is it? She gave birth to Isaac at the age of. How old was she when God said to Abraham? Abraham was 99, didn't he? How old was she? 90, yeah. 真的吗? I'm confused now. Let me see. Turn to
verse 17.
17 now. Maybe 89. Okay. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Okay. All right, now, Abraham, yeah? Okay, Abraham, look at the physical condition of the couple, okay? The physical condition. Sarah, she was barren from the very beginning. Okay, she was barren. And now, she's 90, let's say 90, okay? She passed the age of childbearing. All right? Now this guy here, what? He's no longer fertile. How can I use a civilized term? Any term which is civilized? A man cannot bear a child anymore. What? Yes. Okay, no other term. Not fertile anymore. Can't think of any words. Huh? Okay, now this is the physical condition. That's why when you look at Romans and Hebrews, describe Abraham as good as dead. The body is dead. Dead body. Right? It's a dead man. Dead. Right? Now look at this. This one is what? We said double barrenness. Plus this one is a triple. This woman wants to have a child from a dead man. This is what the Bible says. Okay, read. I didn't make it up. Okay. Romans. Chapter 4. Okay, verse 19, yeah? 4:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Chapter 4, verse 19. Okay, this is how the Bible, how Paul described. And this guy is dead, and here the womb is dead. Deadness, very strong word, because it's double barrenness. That's why it's deadness of the womb. Hello? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay? Now, so when you add up together, it's like triple. It's dead, it's dead, it's dead, dead. Okay? No hope. Okay, let me see. Okay, we turn to Hebrews, yeah? Okay, we read verse 11. 11, verse 11 and verse 12. Again here, this section of the scriptures talks about Sarah and what? And Abraham. Now, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had what? Who had promised. Now, therefore, for one man and him as good as dead, again, the word dead is mentioned, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. But now, I just want to paint a bit more for you to understand, okay? You get a factor. Okay. Look at Sarah again. Look at Sarah, right? Now, Sarah, old lady, yeah? Old lady. Sarah? You know, she suffered double barrenness, yeah, at the age of 90. You know, it's risky, it's dangerous to conceive a child. You understand what I'm saying? Is that not true? Right? Now, not only that, the Bible says she received strength. Strength, okay? Meaning, you know, it's like saying to us that she was not ready. It's like the desire to have children has gone. Not anymore. Physically speaking, it's not possible at all for her to have a child. But that's what the Bible says. She has to receive strength from God. And that strength comes from God. Right? Because it's beyond her already. Now, I want to read a very interesting description, yeah, given in Genesis. And in fact, this happened to many old couples. Huh? Alright, now we turn to, where is it? Okay, chapter 18, yeah? Now, we can only see this in the English version. And I don't think the Chinese show this aspect of their life. Now, chapter 18, we read verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Pleasure. You know, old people, sometimes they just need what? Companionship. They don't sleep together anymore. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? How can I put it? There's some people that one old. They don't sleep together. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Of course, you know. Right? They don't sleep together anymore. And now God said, no. Because I'm going to give you a child. And for that reason, you have to do it one more time. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? It's impossible. You can see the situation at the time. Is that clear? It's very funny. Alright, now, so come back. Okay, never mind. Come back. Chapter 17. Now I want you to look at verse 21. Chapter 17, yeah? I need to finish 18 or so. Otherwise I cannot finish. I talk too much. Okay, now 17, verse 21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Yeah? Now God purpose is determined already, and it's not given to change. Even though at that point in time you find that, you know, the conditions, the physical conditions of both parties were beyond their reach of having a child. You get what I'm saying? But the purpose of God has already been ascertained, has been fixed already. It cannot be changed. Now, again, when you look at this verse, you know that the will of God cannot be thwarted, cannot be stopped by what? Things that happen, yeah, in our life. You understand what I'm saying? God will somehow transcend. Yeah? That's the idea we can gather here when God said this to Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, you find that, yeah? Verse 26, the very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house born in the house of bought with money from a foreigner was circumcised with him. Right? You find that Abraham was so obedient. Now, as far as God, what God wanted Abraham to do is to walk before him without blame. Okay? Meaning, whatever God said, he must do. And I think this applies to us as well today. Whatever God said, we do. Even though at times we find that circumstances in life, it can be very challenging, can be very difficult. Right? And we cannot give excuses by saying that, no, because of my, my life situation, right? And it makes me impossible to keep the will of God. No. So from the example of Abraham, we find that with faith, we can overcome all situations in life. Is it clear? But now we quickly move to 18 now. But never mind, I just covered the first part. Okay. We take a break. Yeah. Any question? You know, that's why the Bible says, eh? The Bible says Isaac is a child of promise. I want you to read Galatians. Eh? Galatians. Eh? Galatians chapter 4, yes. Okay, chapter 4. We read verse 28. Yeah? Chapter 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Okay, now, from here we understand that when we talk about the promise of God, again we stress that the promise of God is not influenced by what? Events in this world. Yeah? And the will of God, the promise of God, cannot be affected or thwarted by the event in this world or in our life. Okay? That's why you find that the existence of Isaac in itself, yeah, is a great miracle. and actually is the work of God. Now, when you come to, turn back to Genesis, yeah? Turn back to Genesis, chapter 9, let me see. Chapter 21. Now, verse 1, yeah? And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he has spoken. The Lord visited Sarah. It's like God gave her strength. It is the power of God, the will of God. Yeah, it was not done through her. It's not because she wanted to have a child. That's why she had one for herself. Now, having analyzed all the, you know, all the possible, you know, scenarios, yeah, and we come to a conclusion that it is not possible at that time for them to have a child. Not at all. Right? So that's why that is a promised son. Now think about what Paul says, yeah? Isaac is a promised son and we are the promised children. In what way we are similar to Isaac? Think about that. Okay?
A silent prayer. Amen.